Well, let's skip the video. Sorry about that. A few technical difficulties. That's all right, Mike. Thank you. This morning, as we get together, the theme of our message this morning is the Divine Rescuer, or the Divine Rescue. The amazing thing in our lives is sometimes we don't realize that we need to be rescued. When Chris and I first got married, we had a neighbor that lived next door to us, and we had these two-story colonials, and one of the things that he needed to do one day is to clean out his gutters. But he was afraid to climb the ladder, and I said, well, I'd be more than happy to climb the ladder for you. The problem is that the ladder just made it under the eaves. And so as I climbed the ladder, as I got up on the roof, that was okay. I could shimmy up onto the roof. The problem was getting down off the roof. There was no way that I could reach around the eaves to the ladder and get any kind of firm grip on that ladder so that I felt safe in climbing down. So after about 45 minutes and the fire department showing up, I was rescued off the roof. Going up, I didn't think I needed to be rescued. Coming down, I definitely needed to be rescued. All of us are in need of being rescued. All of us are sinners. All of us are separated from God because of our sin. And because of that sin, we know that there is the penalty that is going to come. The wrath of God is going to be poured out on mankind. Now, on an Easter Sunday morning, we don't want to be talking about that, do we? But the whole reason why we have an Easter Sunday morning is because God chose to redeem mankind. God chose to provide a way for us to have the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so as we think of that idea of being rescued, we need to realize that we need to be rescued from something. And I pray that we do not take for granted this morning as we have an opportunity to get together. In Sri Lanka, just this morning, 8 bombs went off, 3 in churches, 3 in hotels, 1 in a guest house. 190 people were killed this morning. Not all of them, some of them in their church. They're going to church on a Sunday morning to worship, to praise God for the risen Christ, to worship as we did this morning and continue to do this morning. And their lives were taken away from them. My prayer is that since we live in this country and we have great freedoms, I pray that we might not ever forget the great price that was paid for our salvation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so this morning we come and we don't have any fear. We don't have any fear that a bomb is going to go off. We don't have any fear that anybody's going to walk in. So my prayer is that as we sang and as we worshiped and as we came before God and as we offered up this time of worship, we have open hearts, open minds, and praying that God might stir in our hearts. And we might live in light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that every day that we wake up, and I pray, I know Chris and I talk about this. Last year, I challenged us to wake up every day and live in light of the resurrection and think about that thought. And the challenge again today is to live in light of the resurrection. Look at what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Friday was suffering. Saturday was silence. Sunday, the sun arose. And we are so thankful for the fact that that tomb was empty. We are so thankful that the divine rescuer rose from the dead. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. John Stott said this, Christianity, in its very essence, is a resurrection religion. The concept of the resurrection lies at its heart. If you remove the resurrection from Christianity, it is destroyed. And so today is just not another holiday. Today is just not another opportunity, as we heard in some of those interviews that Pastor Jason did with the students from UNI. You know, we used to do this, just an Easter egg hunt. It's nothing religious. It has something to do with nature, maybe. But God, and this day has everything to do with God. It has everything to do with the Son of God who died and who was buried and who rose again. So we all need to be rescued because of our sin. We all have sinned. All of us are separated from God because of that sin. All of our sin leads to death and hell. But God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Paul writes in Romans chapter 5. He writes again in Ephesians 2:8, "It is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that we can boast." And so this gift of salvation comes through this one who is the divine rescuer. He came to earth as a man. Not only a man, as a servant. He died on the cross for our sins, the worst death that you could possibly think of. And he did it all to rescue and redeem mankind. And so today we celebrate the resurrection of our divine rescuer. What are some things that we see in this rescue? I see three things, and we're going to look at a number of passages of Scripture this morning. But the first thing is that there is an invitation there found in the resurrection, the invitation of the resurrection. Let's turn to that passage that Pastor Jason read earlier this morning in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. Luke is writing, and as we remember, Luke is giving this account to Theophilus, his patron, as we heard as we were studying the book of Acts also. And as he writes, he is giving an orderly account of the things that transpired in Jesus' life and Jesus' ministry. So as we read this account, Luke is writing exactly what he remembers happening. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, and the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you that while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and to be crucified and on the third day rise." And then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. What do we find here? What is the invitation here in Luke chapter 24? Well, we need to go to Matthew chapter 28 because we see this also in verses 6 and 7. Same account. The basic elements are the same in each one of these accounts. There was an angel. Matthew records an earthquake, and it's interesting that Matthew is the only one who records the earthquake at the crucifixion and an earthquake at the resurrection. So there must be something significant about that, this announcing of the death of Christ, but then also the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But as we look at chapter 28 of the book of Matthew, verses 6 and 7, Matthew writes this, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. And here is the invitation. Come and see the place where he was laid." And then the angel says, "Go and tell his disciples." The invitation is very clear for each and every one of us. The divine rescuer died on the cross on Friday, was buried, and he rose again on Sunday morning. The disciples, as they came, these women, as they came, they didn't know what they were going to do. As they came, they were perplexed. What do we do? How do we handle this? You know, we have all these spices prepared. We need to prepare the body. I know Joseph and... this just isn't women. I know that Joseph and Nicodemus didn't do a very good job, so we're going to come and we're going to finish the job and we're going to do it right. And they bring the spices to the tomb, but how are we going to roll this stone away? And the earthquake happens as they are going. And the angels are there. And the invitation is, come and see. Come and see. Come and look in the tomb. Here's where he was laid. You were there when Joseph and Nicodemus prepared the body. You were there when they laid him in the tomb. Come and see what it's like now. And the invitation is the same for each and every one of us. As we are presented with the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we are confronted with our sin, as we hear that message, the message is always, come and see. Just come and see. Jesus isn't like any religious ruler. There's something different about him, or religious leader. What does Peter say? Look at, David was a great guy. And David was our king. And David did a lot for us. But we know where his grave is. And if we open that grave, we would find David's bones in there. But Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is making intercession for us. And so the invitation today is the same as it was to those women who went to the tomb. Come and see. Come and see. Don't let your eyes be blinded. And then, it's once you believe, once you've seen, once you've experienced, once you've seen that the grave is empty, what I want you to do is go and tell. Man, this is something that we don't hold to ourselves. This is something that we just want to share with other people, isn't it? I have seen where Christ was laid and he's no longer there. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. That he came to die to redeem mankind. And the only way that he can redeem mankind is by rising from the dead. And go and tell. I love our grandkids. They are so much fun. And when we get around them, there's always something that they want to show us. Always. Deepa, you got to come and see this. Gigi, you need to come and see this. That's what they call us. I just didn't make those up. They call us that. You need to come. And they're excited, aren't they? And they want to tell what this thing is that they want to show us. And so this morning, the invitation for you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, is come and see. Come and see. You've heard it before. Maybe you've been in church 100 times and Jesus is saying to you, come and see. Maybe you're like Thomas and you're doubting and he's saying this morning, come and put your fingers in the nail prints in my hand. Come and put your hand in my side. You know, come if you're doubting. Come and see the reality of the risen Christ. What an invitation. What an invitation. This just isn't a moment in time. This event is something that is eternal. So the mission of the church and every believer, we are invited to come and see the empty tomb by faith. We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus said you need to have childlike faith to come and see. The children that are mentioned in the books of Narnia. Oh, they could see the city. They could see all the events that were going on in Narnia. C.S. Lewis. Sometimes we as adults lose that fascination. Sometimes we lose that imagination. And I think that's why Jesus says we need to become like children to understand that simple faith, that I'm a sinner, that I'm lost, I need a Savior. And then we must go out and tell. We must go and tell. I pray that the proclamation of the resurrection is something that's on the tip of your tongue. Here is what Christ has done for me. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to know the Bible backwards and forwards. What you need is to say, you know what? This is what God did for me. I don't understand it all. In fact, I understand very little, but what I do understand is that I was lost and I was bound for hell. And God transformed my life because I put my faith and trust in the God who loved me enough to send his son to die on the cross for our sins. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. And today, the invitation is, come and see. And the mission is, go and tell. And my heart was stirred as I was preparing this message. You know, how do you present the resurrection story again? But my heart was stirred by this message, by this invitation. My heart was challenged. As we went out and Chris and I went out and had an opportunity to touch base with some of our neighbors and to invite them this morning. My heart was challenged by this. Oh, that you would just come and see. And I want to go and tell. I want to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. The second thing we see, and we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that great chapter. Pastor Jason read a portion of that this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have the hope of the resurrection. Paul starts off chapter 15 with this, starting with verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received from Christ, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according with the Scriptures. And so here is Jesus, and here is Paul preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? Because there's great hope in the resurrection. I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, about those who have fallen asleep. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there's coming a day when there is going to be this resurrection. There is going to be this time when we are taken up. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he is speaking of the resurrection, 58 verses about the resurrection. And if it wasn't for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, everything that we believe is in vain. It's just useless. But because of the resurrection, we have great hope. This life doesn't end when we take our last breath here. Because when we take our last breath here, we're going to be in heaven because Jesus has had victory over the grave. Let me read these verses 50 through 58. I tell you, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Here is our hope. This is great hope. My life doesn't end when I take this last breath. I remember 3 years ago now, when my father-in-law, as I stood here knowing that my father-in-law had slipped into eternity just hours before. There was pain and there was sorrow, but we recognized that there was great victory in the fact that he was no longer suffering in this body. That Dad was now standing in the presence of his Savior, the Savior that he loved. And that's hope. That is assurance. That is what God has given us. And this hope that we're talking about is a surety. It's something that is going to happen. And so verse 50 tells us that this body cannot enter into heaven. It's got all the limitations that we could possibly think of. There's just no way that this mortal body, this perishable body, can enter into the presence of God. But it will be changed at the time when Christ comes to rescue his church and take the rescued to heaven with him. Our bodies will be like his body. And we look forward to that day, don't we? We look forward to that day when we are transformed, that we no longer are limited in who we are. We are no longer limited in our understanding. We are no longer limited with the baggage of this life. But this body is changed, and this body is transformed, and this body is resurrected, and this body takes on that new form as we stand in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In verses 54 through 57, it gives us hope of victory over death. We sing a song, Death Was Arrested. And that song was written as the songwriter was looking through a graveyard, and he saw on one of the tombstones that saying, death was arrested when my life began. Our life begins when we leave this body and we enter into the presence of our Savior. Why? Because there's victory over death. Death is swallowed up in victory. And it happened that day when Jesus rose from the dead. When that tomb was empty, when Peter and John ran to the tomb because they didn't believe the women's testimony. And just think about this. The first people that heard that the resurrected Christ had left the tomb, that he was alive, were women. Women at that time, their testimony was basically illegal and unlawful in any kind of legal proceedings. And so these women run to the disciples and they tell them what's going on. And they say, you know what? We don't believe you. We're going to go look for ourselves. And Peter and John run to the tomb. And as Peter and John get there, John stops at the door of the tomb and he looks around and he just sort of gives this quick perusal looking at what the scene is all about. Peter comes and he busts past John because he was running a little slower than he was. He stands in the tomb and he starts to take inventory. And then John walks in and he looks around with perception. And he believes and he understands that Jesus did exactly what he said he was going to do. That in 3 days he was going to rise. That he was going to have victory over death. And we, as believers in Jesus Christ, as God's children, as brothers and sisters, as the flock of God, as the church of God, as the family of God, we have that hope. And we look forward to that day when we have victory. And then verse 58, the resurrection leads us to action. Therefore, in light of everything that I've just talked about, my beloved brethren, and I could say that to you this morning, my beloved church. Kristen, I love you. We pray for you every day. Our heart is with you. And we pray this, that we might be steadfast, that we might be unmovable, and we might always be abounding in the work of the Lord, because this labor is not in vain. This work isn't a burden. Your work is not a burden. I can tell Molly was enjoying leading the choir. I can tell Pastor Aaron was enjoying leading worship. I can tell Pastor Jason was enjoying that reading that he put together. That was excellent. We enjoy doing ministry, and my prayer is that your ministry here is not a burden, but it brings great joy. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. So there's the invitation of the resurrection. There's the hope of the resurrection. What is the result of the resurrection? Let me just share this with you. We could just open the Bible anywhere, and we would find this. The unrighteous are made righteous. The sinner is made sinless. The broken are made whole. The hopeless are given hope. The filthy are made clean. The bound are set free. The dead are made alive. That is the result of the resurrection. As we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, as we believe that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again for our sins, and because of his death and my faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I am free from the wrath of God. I am set free from the bondage that is so prevalent in our world today. When I feel hopeless, I know that there is hope in Jesus Christ. All of my needs are met in Jesus Christ. Reinhold Bonnke just said the other night, I'm not a great evangelist. He preaches to thousands of people. And thousands of people are coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And he said, this is what I'm going to continue to proclaim, though. And I can say the same thing. I'm not a great preacher. But I'm going to continue to proclaim this message. And it is this, that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. There is no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. The resurrection is our hope. The resurrection transforms. All because of the resurrection, the divine rescuer won the victory over sin and death. He overcame the grave. He conquered what humanly could never be conquered. And today he reaches out to you. He is saying to you, come and see. I am alive. I am here to rescue you from your greatest need, and that is your sin. Will you trust me? Will you have faith in me? Will you accept this invitation to be rescued today? And then we are told as believers, go and tell. And we just don't want to hold this news in. We want to be excited. We want to be like our daughter, granddaughter Ava. She walks into Union Station in Kansas City and says, look at my Union Station. Can you walk out of here today and whatever restaurant you walk into say, hey, Christ is risen today. He's done great things for you. May today be transformative in our lives. May we leave today. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior as you walked in, but today, maybe today is the day that you surrender your heart to Christ. And you say, I want to surrender to the rescuer who came to rescue me. And maybe today, believer, brother, sister, maybe today is the day that God impresses on your heart, I need to be about the message of the gospel, and I need to go and tell. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this glorious day that you have given us, this day of resurrection, this day of celebration, Father. We are so thankful for the gift of salvation that we have through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that if there was someone here today that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that as we sing this last song, Man of Sorrows, I pray that they might make their way down to the front and that they might say, I am here today to surrender my life to the great divine rescuer. I need to be rescued from my sin. And Father, I pray today that we as believers might take the invitation. We might take this invitation to go and tell, and that we might proclaim from the mountaintops the good news of Jesus Christ. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.